Welcome to Fitness Disrupted, a production of iHeartRadio. I am Tom Holland, and this is Fitness Disrupted. I love so much about my job, which entails many different things, including this podcast. And what I particularly love about this podcast is I wait until I'm really passionate or there's a reason to do a specific topic to do it, because I think it's going to be a better show. I'm more excited about it, more motivated. It has just additional kind of oomph behind it, and very fortunate, right? I'm not told what to talk about, and my producers don't say, here are the topics and here's what you have to talk about this week. I have a whole list that I have compiled and continue to add to of topics that I think would make great shows. And with that list, I wait until there's a reason to do a certain show. And sometimes it's an article that comes out. Sometimes it's an experience, an interaction I have, an article I read. And sometimes it just happens, as this one did. I was out doing a hill workout, a running hill workout, and I thought, time to do this show. Time to do this show. Now, some of you who have listened to previous podcasts, goes a little ways back, but I did a show on why you should run hills. And I talk about the science behind it and go into in greater detail, as far as the science at least is concerned, why you should run hills. So I'm not going to focus too much on that. I will do a quick kind of rehash of the benefits and the whys. But know that if you haven't listened to that show and you enjoy this one and want to know more about hill workouts, then go back and listen to that one as well. So this one is more specific. This one, I'm going to give you more of the how to do it. I do outline that in the prior podcast on hills, and I'm going to just take it a couple steps further. Okay, so there's a couple reasons for that. Obviously, a huge part of this show is giving you actionable information, stuff you can do right away. And this is one of those shows. And again, it's building on that prior podcast about hills. And it's just something I have done forever. And it's something every top athlete does for the most part, regardless of their sport. You know, I talked about in that prior podcast, Walter Payton, Andre Agassi. So you had football players, tennis players, just about every athlete will incorporate these into their training to some degree. And you say, well, I'm not an athlete. I'm not a professional athlete. Doesn't matter. And I'll talk about that. The benefits far exceed just sports performance. And they are free and they are accessible to just about everybody. Although I do remember back when I was training clients, especially for marathons, triathlons, things like that. And I would have an online client who lived somewhere like Florida that was super flat, and they would have issues with finding a hill outside, at least. And I remember vividly people talking about bridges. Bridges were one way and are one way. Those of you who live in flat areas like certain parts of Florida and other places around the world, the bridges are what people use for hill training. But you can also do it on a treadmill, and I will even talk about bikers as well. All right, so this show, three hill workouts you should add to your routine. All right, quick break. We'll be right back. And we are back, you know, back when I was training clients in home, and I would go to a new client's house for the first time, and I would pull in the driveway and say to them, wow, you live in the perfect place. And they'd say, why? And I'd say, oh, you got some hills and we're going to use these hills. And that goes for just about all the clients I had. What is the, you know, one of the top goals of many people when it comes to exercise is weight loss. So even though I started the show by talking about Walter Payton and Andre Agassi and, you know, professional athletes utilizing hills as part of their training, weight loss, hills are phenomenal. Phenomenal. So when those clients had, I had one client in particular, many, you know, with hills around them, but one, just so many hills, and just one huge one leading up to her house. And we ran them and we walked them. And that is a great starting point that, whether you are a walker or a runner, or I'm even going to throw in biking, because it does apply, maybe not to the third type of hill workout I'm going to give you, but actually it does to some degree, just a little different. Hills are for you. Hills are for you. And yes, I'm going to repeat a little bit if you listen to that prior podcast on why you should do Hills, but you know, they are beneficial in so many ways. Weight loss, of course. Previous research has shown what? Give you some quick science. I'm going to go into specific studies in this podcast and just give you more of the actionable information. But yes, previous research has revealed that running is what? Good for what? Energy expenditure. One of the top ones when you look at the science. It makes sense. Running up hills is hard, right? You're burning more calories. And that's why I talk about it. It's such a perfect way to do a high intensity interval training workout. So many people aren't doing high intensity interval training workout. Every day I see another social media, here's, you know, a 20 minute HIIT workout, and it's not even close. And that's okay. It's generally, they're good workouts. They're just not high intensity. So when people are confused about how to do it, running up a hill is a pretty easy, natural way to raise your heart rate. So that first reason, research showing that greater energy expenditure, great way to burn more calories. And number two, a little bit more for the sports performance people out there, but you have to, it increases your step frequency. So what does that mean? You're going to become a better runner, a more efficient runner by running hills. People are mistaken thinking that longer strides, how many coaches for years does it take longer strides? No, shorter strides, higher step frequency, greater efficiency as a runner. And hills force you to do that and to make it more natural. So a great way to become a more efficient runner, which means you go faster. It's easier to go faster if that's your goal. And just one more, and there are others, but the research shows that there is a decrease in ground reaction forces when you run up hills, which is counterintuitive because it's harder, but it's harder on your heart. Harder on your heart, easier for the most part on your body. Although it's going to give you an awesome lower body strength workout, functional strength workout. All right. So those three benefits are three of many, but really applicable to so many of you who are listening, who want to burn more calories, who maybe want to improve your running. Maybe you do 5Ks, half marathons, whatever. You want to become more efficient. And by the way, just becoming more efficient means your activities of daily living are easier, right? You are improving your endurance. And finally, decrease in ground reaction forces. So many people have knee issues, hip issues, things like that. And that was actually that same client I referenced earlier, who had just the enormous hill leading up to her house and so many others. She had major knee issues. And so we used those hills to rehabilitate her. And she actually ended up running half marathons. She had, I think it was 6 knee surgeries, pins. So to think that she ended up running half marathons pain-free, but it took time. And we used hills a lot. And the ground reaction force reduction was a huge component of that training. And let me just go over benefits one more time. So we talked about weight loss, health benefits. You're raising your heart rate, you're strengthening your heart, and you're getting all of those cardiovascular benefits that come with cardiovascular exercise in general, and then intervals in particular. Those high intensity interval training elements. Some days you want to do just endurance, just steady state, low intensity, steady state, lists, right? Other days you want HIIT, you want to mix it up. And many of you listening, you're not going to do burpees, you're not going to do, you know, super high intensity. And that's why hills are so great, because you don't have to turn up a dial, right? Or you know, use a screen, although I'm going to tell you how to do that if you are going to use a treadmill or even a bike. It's up to you, right? How hard you run up that hill. And that's what works so well. Basically, when you need to slow down, you slow down, right? And that's just a natural benefit of hill work for walkers, again, as well as runners. If you're a walker, you're just going to speed walk up. And then you're going to go down slower. I'll talk about that. And I referenced just a couple minutes ago, the functional lower body strength training. You know, for runners in particular and just everyone else in general. It's like lunging, squatting, running up those hills, and then going back down is a natural form of strength training for your lower body and your core, by the way, a little bit of upper body. I mean, you could throw it all in there, but lower body in particular, then your core is involved and your upper body, you got your arms swinging and all those kind of things as well. But it's a great natural way to add a type of strength training into your cardio. And I talked about how it improves athletic performance. You have kids. What a great way for kids to exercise. It's natural for them. And I just did a show on strength training for kids. And I talked about hills. Hills are a great way. If you have young athletes, I do this with my two boys. And I'll talk about that at the end. Make it a family affair. So regardless of your athletic goals or sport, hills can and should be a part of your program. And finally, and there are others, but one major benefit is the variation. And almost every time I use the term variation in this context, I then qualify it by saying physically and mentally. I don't want to go out and run the same 4, 5, 6 mile route every day. I have friends that do that, and it's shocking to me, but it works for them. And that's why on Fitness Disrupted, I talk about you find what works for you nutritionally, exercise-wise, and all that. But for the vast majority of people who need change mentally, and then that whole plateau issue, you need to keep your body guessing to keep seeing changes. See, I'm getting excited. Coming. And so I get excited when I have this whole arsenal of different workouts to pick from and go, oh, today I'm going to do hills. You know, 2 days, you know, from then I'm going to do steady state. And then the next workout's going to be some speed intervals. But that is one way I keep seeing results. I stay injury free. And it's still interesting. I get excited. All right. So as I said earlier, you can do these either outside or on a treadmill. And ideally, what do you think I'm going to say? Do both. If you do have access to a treadmill, there are differences. Topic for another day. Actually, have not even done that one yet, I don't believe, over 200 shows. But, you know, difference between running, walking on a treadmill and outside. Question that comes up all the time. But it's great to mix those up as well. Do both. Do both. When it's raining outside and you have to get that walk or run in, sometimes you can go out in the rain. And other times you just say, okay, this is a treadmill day. So you can do both. And I did, as I was preparing this show, throw in bikes for you bikers. You can do and should do, and triathletes already do this, hill workouts as well. And the same basic framework will apply that I will give you, the three different workouts. A little different for the third, as I said, but walking, running, biking, you want to work those hills in. And if you're on a stationary bike, it's just resistance. If you're on a treadmill, you can actually change the incline or decline, as I will bring up. So you're simulating hills when you're indoors. All right. So how do you do it? Got the reasons why. Burn more calories, functional strength training, high intensity intervals, great for your body. Keep your body guessing. Keep your mind, you know, interested. Mix it up. Variation. So how do you do it? Final break. When we come back, I'm going to give you the three specific hill workouts you should add to your routine. We will be right back. All right, so three specific workouts. You go, okay, Tom, tell us what to do. Tell me what to do. I'm into it. I see the value. What do I do? So I've talked about the first way many times, including that show I keep referencing on why you should do hills. So hill repeats. Hill repeats. This was my first kind of foray into specific hill training. Really specific. And that is what? That is when you do a warm up, maybe 5, 10, 15 minutes. And that could be walking or running. But it's an easy warm up, 5, 10, 15 minutes, maybe even a little longer, depending on how long your workout is. Then the middle section are the hill repeats. So you find a hill outdoors or you do it on a treadmill. And you run up hard or walk up fast if you're a walker. And you come down easy. Let me throw cycling in as well. Same concept. You go up hard and you come down easy. So you're elevating that heart rate. You are adding in that added intensity. And then you're recovering. And I'm going to throw in that gray zone again. The goal here is to go hard and go easy and stay out of that gray zone. Now, you don't have to kill yourself, nor should you, depending on how many intervals you're doing as well or how long the hill is. But it should be hard. You're outside. You're just outside that comfort zone. And that's what I was saying earlier. When you're doing it outside, you don't have to worry about pressing a button. You will just slow down when you need to slow down. You will know your intensity. You will know how it feels. So again, hill repeats. The first kind, the first way, the first workout you should have in your toolbox. And so 5, 10, 15, 20 minute warm up. 20 minutes would be if you're doing a full hour. And that middle section, about 20 minutes of intervals. Up hard, down easy. Up fast, down slow if you're a walker. So you're pushing yourself, you're pushing the intensity on the up, and you're allowing your heart and your body to recover on the way down. And a fun metric, a fun benefit that you will see over time is the fitter you get, the faster you recover. So if you're wearing a heart rate monitor, you may be significantly recovered halfway down the hill over time. Now, how long should that hill be? It depends. 30 seconds is pretty long. 60 seconds is, try running up a pretty steep hill for 60 seconds. Anywhere from 30 to 60 seconds. You can throw in 90. I have a hill near me. That's pretty much the longest one, although I'll give you, that's for the shorter workouts. So the longer, you're going to make it more gradual, obviously. And if you're a biker, you can push the length a little bit more. But I don't want you to get bogged down in how long. The goal is just to do them, to go up something steep, hard, come down easy. Shouldn't be too long. And the steeper it is, the shorter the interval. Your body will tell you. Your body will tell you. So for this type of workout, I'm generally 30 to 90 seconds on the up. And 90 is a long time. If you're going 3/4 speed or more, that's a good hill repeat. And how many? You can start with 2, 3, or 4. And you can build up to 8 to 10. I generally stop at 10. And depending on how long that hill is, that could be 20 minutes, 25 minutes, 15 to 25 minutes. But if you say, I'm going to do a 30-minute workout, then you say something to the effect of 10-minute warm-up, 10 minutes of hill repeats, 5 to 10-minute cool-down. All right? You always want that warm-up and that cool-down as well. You want to avoid that gray zone just outside, people. Just outside, so much good stuff happens on hills just outside your comfort zone. And the beauty is, you're not going to be there very long. That's why it works. That's why I talk about so often these trainers that everyone says, oh, he's so tough, she's so tough, because they do intervals that are too long. Well, you can't stay there. And so what do you do after like the second, third time when you go, oh my gosh, this is too long, this is too hard? You ratchet it down. And so you're never really redlining or going close to that because you're just trying to hang on. I love this workout. And then what's the second one? So that's one. That's your basic. And again, treadmill, same thing. You're going to increase the incline, do your 30 to 60 seconds, bring it back down, walk easy. Okay, recover. And if you are using an indoor bike, cycling indoors, you're increasing that resistance, simulating a hill, same amount of time, pulling that resistance back and recovering. Phenomenal walk, run, bike, workouts. All right, second version. And this is the one I was doing the other day when I thought I need to do a podcast on this because I've talked about the first type of workout many times. I haven't talked about this one. So this is a variation. You go, okay, not everyone wants to do that same hill, that same way over and over. Even if you're adding repeats in, you want variation. So some days I will do that first version. And then other times, this one. And generally speaking, by the way, I will do hills once a week. And in a 4-week block, I will do that first hill repeat type of workout. The second week, I'm going to do the one I tell you now. And then the third week, I'm going to do that third version. So once a week and varying as well. Totally up to you. Different ways for different reasons, but A, you want to do them. And then B, you want to add the variation in. All right. So this second hill workout is just a hilly course. So this is where I have three great hills that are pretty close to each other near where I live. And the workout is very straightforward. I still do that warm-up, pretty much the same one I will do for the hill repeat workout. And then my first hill is the one I do the hill repeats with, but I only run up it once. And then I run to the next hill. Takes about a quarter mile. And then I run up that second hill. And then there's a third hill about a quarter of a mile from that. And I run up that one. And then what I do is I run about a half mile, a mile away from that third hill. Then I turn around, I come back and I do it again. Backwards now. So 6 hill repeats, 3 hills with some running recovery in between. So there is a difference, right? First of all, mentally, nice. I get to keep moving. I don't have to go up and down. Some days, though, it's kind of fun to go up and down the same spot. Other days, I want to go out and run 3 hills twice through. And then when I want to make it even longer, and I'm building up my endurance, I will do it 3 times. So 3 by those 3 hills. That's a good hour. And the difference, too, is now you don't run up those hills quite as hard. You're still running up hard. And then you're not walking down, you're jogging down slowly. So you think of this almost as if you're in a race. You're not really running that fast, but you're not going up quite as hard, and you're not coming down quite as easily. But you're still getting those benefits. You're still raising your heart rate. And when you think about it, you're never quite recovering as much because you're not walking down, but you're jogging down easy. And then you're recovering on the flats. So just a great variation. First one I refer to as hill repeats, and the second one is hilly course. You plot out a hilly course. And if you're on the treadmill, you make that hilly course yourself. And that's an important caveat. I want you to decide ahead of time if you are using a treadmill, exactly what you're going to do. If you're using the hill repeat framework, you go, okay, I'm going to do a mile and a half warm up. I'm going to do 6 by 60 second hills. Going to walk for 60 seconds or 90 seconds to recover, and I'm going to do a 1 mile cool down. If you're doing a hilly course, maybe you say, I'm going to do a 30 second hill, a 60 second hill, and a 90 second hill, and I'm going to do that 2 times through for 6 total hill repeats. And so different is better. Different will give you different benefits while still conferring the added calorie burn, the added step frequency, the lower ground reaction force, and different cardiovascular demands. And you won't get burnt out by doing the same thing over and over again mentally. All right. And then finally, third way. Love this third one. This is advanced. This I used and still use, but used specifically for people doing the Boston Marathon. What is this? downhill focus. Downhill focus. So Boston Marathon is difficult primarily because the first 14 miles or so are a slight downhill. And what does that mean? Quite often, you will experience, depends on your fitness level and what you're doing, but the downhill, right? You go up a hill, it's hard. You walk up a hill, you're hiking. It's the down that's challenging, right? In so many different ways. And one specific way is that when you go downhill, when you run downhill, when you walk, run, it's eccentric contractions. What does that mean? An eccentric contraction, it's the lowering phase. You know, if you're doing a bicep curl or a push-up, it's the down. And when you're running, it occurs when you're going downhill, when your muscle is lengthening as it contracts. So the concentric contraction, the muscle shortens as it contracts. Eccentric, it's lengthening. And that's where the muscle damage generally comes. The good muscle damage, the, you know, tears in your muscle tissue that repair over time. And that's the delayed onset muscle soreness. Did a podcast about that. That real bad soreness you feel after a new workout or a workout like hills. A huge part of that soreness is from the eccentric contraction. The muscle lengthens as it contracts. And when you're running, it's your quadriceps and your calf muscles. They're contracting eccentrically to help catch your body weight. Okay, every time your foot strikes the ground, before that concentric contraction kicks in to push you forward. And just one final little exercise science point on that is that eccentric contractions, it's just more muscle damage. There's a little less energy because there are fewer muscle fibers, generally speaking, given the amount of force, but you're going to be sore in a different way. And so a third advanced type of workout, I have a 1 mile hill, gradual, next to my home as well. Not part of those three that I use. This is a fourth one, and it's a gradual 1 mile hill. And so for that woman specifically who was training for the Boston Marathon many years ago, she was a high level athlete, a mom, but a great runner. And she had, you know, lofty goals for the marathon. And so I had her do a 1 to 2 mile warm up. This is a longer run, obviously. Then she would go to that hill. She would run up easy. And then she would go down a little bit fast, a little bit faster than if she were doing a hilly course. So pretty fast, almost race pace, but not quite. So if she were doing like a 5K or a 10K race, you can go down pretty fast, right? But what does that do? That really challenges your quadriceps. And so the focus was downhill. So that's your third and final advanced hill workout. But you can do that walking, running, biking now. That's why I said a little different. Now you're descending, right? You're not worried about the eccentric contractions and things like that. But that's a part of cycling too. You get used to the downhills as well. So there's a reason to do that, but it's different. And again, this is super advanced, but another possible addition to your exercise arsenal. You may walk up easy and then speed walk down, but you have to keep it natural. That's where it gets tricky. You know, I love doing the 5K, 10K races because I love descending. I run down like I'm a 5-year-old. Most people are throwing the brakes on, and you have to have a certain level of strength to go down fast. But now we're just adding in a totally different effect by focusing on speed and the down rather than going up hard. Can we come down harder than we normally would and then use the up as the recovery? I love the Boston Marathon because people go out way too fast. Advanced runners still go out way too fast. And it's subtle. That first 14 miles downhill, you go, oh, I'm in great shape. My training was awesome. I'm way ahead of where I should be. Probably not. Anyone who's run Boston knows what I'm talking about. And it is a hard lesson to learn the first time when you get to Heartbreak Hill, Heartbreak Hills, depending on which ones you consider the hills. And it's painful if you went too fast because of that reason. So you can take that kind of negative And in my Pollyanna-ish exercise science way, you go, okay, how do I make that work for me? Well, you put it in as part of your training. And for you walkers out there, I love giving these workouts to walkers. You know, just mixing it up, mixing it up. You have your flat days, you have your hill days, you have your hill repeat days, you have your hilly course days, and finally, you have your downhill days where you keep it natural, go down faster than you normally would, and do that the same way you would hill repeats as far as structure, but flip the intensity. Easier on the up, a little faster, a little harder on the down. There you have it. Use these right away. And if you walk, run, and cycle, now you've got awesome variations. There is no one way. The one way is to do all of the ways and to do excessive moderation. Do a little bit of everything, a lot. Don't do a lot of any one thing, a little bit. I love hills. And hills are one of the reasons I am injury free. And when I'm trying to run fast and cycle fast, bike fast, they are part of that training and reason why I can go fast. Now you've got three specific workouts to throw in there. And again, if you have not listened to the podcast on Why Hills, listen to that as well. All right. Thank you so much for listening. I love what I do. My goal is to have you live your best life, not waste time, not waste money, give you the science, and give you what you can do. Give you all the options based on the science so you can pick and choose what makes sense for you and your life and your likes. Because we all control three things: how much we move, what we put into our mouths, and our attitudes. And that, everyone, is awesome. Tom H. Fit is my Instagram and Twitter. Tom H. Fit, if you want to reach out, questions, comments, I'd love to hear from you. Fitnessdisrupted.com. You can reach out to me through the website as well. My newest book, The Micro Workout Plan, is out there if you're interested. And again, thank you for listening. Thank you. I am Tom Holland. This is Fitness Disrupted. Believe in yourself. Fitness Disrupted is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.